بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: الطهور شطر الإيمان، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected listeners, alhamdulillah, we are on lesson number 50 and we are discussing about the wisdoms of actions. And today we discuss about wuzu being nullified only when one is certain that impurity has occurred. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any one of you feels something in his stomach, that means uneasiness because of winds, and he is therefore uncertain whether anything has emerged, then let him not leave the masjid to perform wuzu unless he hears a sound of the wind or smells something, smells the odor of the wind. For every person, some time of his life, experiences this feeling, uneasiness in the stomach. People have got lot of ways of describing it. They talk of the stomach talking, and the stomach moving, and the stomach making various sounds. For wuzu to be nullified, it is necessary to be certain of impurity for the following two reasons. Number one, because wuzu will terminate only when something emerges from the two private parts. It is necessary to differentiate between two things. Number one, whether something has emerged with certainty, and number two, whether something has not emerged with certainty. This hadith draws this difference and makes it clear that merely the doubt of impurity would not nullify wuzu. There are two scenarios. One is the person knows for certainty that something came out, some wind came out. And one is that the person knows with certainty nothing came out. And Shariat is always saying us, we have to be certain, because the jurisprudent rule, everybody knows that uncertainty does not dislodge certainty, because certainty, shak, doubt, la yazalu, does not remove, does not annihilate, does not precede yakin, does not precede, does not remove certainty. Number two, this hadith intends negating all forms of extremism and rigidity. It is instructed that wuzu is to be made as a precaution when such doubts occur. It cannot be said how many times a person would be performing wuzu when he has a doubtful mind. Remember, wuzu is an ibadat. Salat is an ibadat. Shaitan does not like us to make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan, they are specific shayateen who are there to create doubt in the mind. They are those that create doubt when you are making ghusl. They are those that create doubt when you are making wuzu. They are those that create doubt when you are making salah. They are those that create doubt when you are performing tawaf. So if for every ibadat, ulama have written in detail that there are specific shayateen that create doubts. And they have even named them. For example, that according to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, in his Gunya, he has stated that there is a shaitan, his name is Hadith, and he creates doubt in Salat. And in which way? In wuzu, that you find people going to the wuzu khana and they don't come out easily, because they are worried. How many times I washed? Did I wash properly? Did I do the right thing? Have I scrubbed properly? Have I rubbed properly? And forgetting, did I wash my right hand before I washed my left? Then looking at the right hand, whether it's wet. Then looking at the left foot, whether it's wet. Then feeling the head, did I make musa? Then you look at the person making salah. Shaitan is there, hovering on him, whispering in his heart. No, it's 2 rakats, no, it's 3, no, you did not read Surah Fatiha, oh, you left out your kunut, oh, you know, you never read your attayyat, oh, you never make your ruku properly, oh, you never tie your hands properly, oh, your takbir at-tahrima was not good enough. All this is happening. You see a person making tawaf, how many rounds I made? 2, 3, 5, oh, I must have broken wuzu here. Oh, I don't know whether I touch someone. I don't know whether I discharge gas. All these things are going on. So, the rule in Shariat is that we should not be extreme. Then, because this extreme will lead to doubt, and doubt will ruin the ibadat of Salat, of Wuzu, of Tawaf, of any ibadat, Salat, this doubt will destroy it. And it will create extremism and rigidity. So Shariat is free from rigidity and free from extremism. And is telling us that we are supposed to be, as Muslims, certain in what we do. And not to be doubtful and not to play into the hands of Shaitan. Therefore Shariat has told us that we must be extremely cautious. In which way? Not to allow Shaitan to make us doubtful. And the remedy of the doubt is that we must peg the lower amount and carry on. A person in doubt, whether it's 3 rakats, 4 rakats, 3 rakats, 2 rakats. So you take the lower figure, peg it, have no doubts and carry on with life. That is the solution. And also a person is making wuzu. Did I wash? As long as you wash once, carry on. And carry on with the next limb. Did I wash properly? Yeah, do not now start examining it with the microscope. Did I do it properly with a magnifying glass? No, you washed it, you now you carry on with life. In the initial discourse, in lesson 49, we mentioned that there are 3 types of factors that nullify the wuzu. Those factors that all scholars agree upon, which we have now discussed. Then comes the second type of nullifying factors. Those factors about which there are differences amongst the scholars. These are those nullifying factors about which there are differences of opinion amongst the scholars, amongst the Sahaba, amongst the Tabi'in, amongst the jurist. And Because of the ahadith variations, these differences have occurred. As remember, a jurisprudic principle that when the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, they had differences about a jurisprudic matter, then inevitably this jurisprudic difference will simmer down, will filtrate from their time right up to the Imams of jurisprudence. And you'll find the Imams of jurisprudence, Allah Ta'ala bless them, they will also have their differences. And remember that the Imams of jurisprudence, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, they came historically, time-wise, chronologically speaking, before the compilers of ahadith. That means, in simple language, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, etc., came before Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, etc. So the codification and compilation of jurisprudence took place before the compilation of ahadith. And we know that the jurisprudic scholars, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, they, for example, he himself, he met Sahaba and saw Sahaba. Therefore, the differences that the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala had filtered into their jurisprudic school of thought. And then later the compilers of ahadith came. Now, these second types of nullifying factors of wuzu, they are, fall into five categories. Number one, touching the front private part. Number two, touching a woman. Number three, the flowing of blood and pus. Number four, vomiting a mouthful. Number five, laughing aloud in salah. Now these five, that those of you who are listening, you have got your own mazhab to follow, so you will follow your mazhab and act accordingly. There are ahadiths and technical academic discussions which I do not want to go into. Simple, that these five issues, touching the front private part, touching a woman, the flowing of blood and pus, vomiting a mouthful, laughing aloud in salat, I will not go into the academic technical discussion. If you would like, you can read it up in higher textbooks. However, whichever mazhab you follow, you adhere to it and you adhere to the mazhab that you follow. But why do the above mentioned factors nullify the wuzu? Touching a woman nullifies wuzu because it arouses a person and may therefore lead to intercourse. Touching the private part nullifies wuzu because it is seen as a vile act. It is for this reason that Muslims have been prohibited from touching it with the right hand when cleaning up after relieving oneself. It is especially regarded to be an act of shaitan when it is held in the fist. Flowing of blood also, it is regarded as an act that disturbs the soul. Vomiting a mouthful both soil the body and therefore cause the soul to be discomforted. Laughing aloud in salat is a serious misdemeanor in salat, which requires forgiveness. It is therefore probable that the Shariat has ordained wuzu for this reason. It is however possible that the Shariat has not ordained it, or that it is recommended by the Shariat and not ordained. Then we have got the third type of nullifying factors, that is mansukh. Those factors that seem to have been abrogated. The third type of nullifying factors are those about which some narrations of ahadith give the impression that there had been nullifying factors. But the jurist amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in and the Tabi'een unanimously agree that these factors do not nullify wuzu. These are when eating meat roasted on fire and eating camel meat. Now, there are the ahadith stating that after eating camel meat or meat roasted on fire, wuzu has to be made, but that later they were abrogated. For example, meat roasted on fire, a narration in Muslim states that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, perform wuzu after eating meat that has touched fire. However, performing wuzu after such meat has not been done by Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Khulafa'i Rashidin, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and many other Sahaba. In fact, a narration from Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu clearly states that towards the end of his life, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not make wuzu after eating such meat. This indicates that the narration in Muslim has been abrogated. Now, here I would like to make one point. There are many of those who reject, deny ahadith on the mere grounds that when they see two ahadiths contrary, then they decide no, due to their intelligence, not understanding the science of ahadith, they reject both and get classified as rejectors and deniers of ahadith. An entire sect, an entire group has come about rejecting ahadith on this grounds. Why? Because of their lack of knowledge. Firstly, they lack the knowledge of science of ahadith, and secondly, they lack the knowledge of which ahadith came first and which ahadith came second, which was the abrogating hadith and which hadith we still practice upon. Now, because of this, they deny the actual science of hadith and they actually deny the hadith itself. An interesting part is that we mention also eating of camel meat. Now, the reason for wuzu being necessary after eating camel meat, as I told you, that now it is not necessary. But scholars have stated some reasons. According to those scholars who say that eating camel meat nullifies wuzu, the reason behind it is that camel meat has been declared forbidden in the Torah. For this reason, it has been regarded as haram by all the Anbiya alayhis salam of the Bani Israel. Since it has been declared halal in our Sharia, wuzu has been made compulsory after eating it for the following two reasons. Wuzu after eating camel meat has been made necessary as a token of appreciation for the privilege of being able to eat it after it has been prohibited for others. The objection to this is that gratitude is usually expressed through an act of ibadat that is intended to be an act of ibadat. Wuzu, on the other hand, is a means towards ibadat and not of ibadat in itself. Wuzu, when we say it's an ibadat, we say that it is a means towards ibadat, not ibadat itself. Secondly, wuzu has been prescribed after eating camel meat to treat the doubt that may arise. The doubt is, how can something be made halal for us when it has been made haram to all the Anbiya of the Bani Israel? Accepting this cancellation of prohibition will be easier for people when it is coupled with the compulsion of wuzu. A similarity is found in the bathing of deceased person. Because this is something that people are generally afraid to do, the directive to bath afterwards has been given to dispel any doubts that may occur. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayh concludes by stating that the instruction to perform wuzu after eating camel meat should be applied only, was applied only during the early days of Islam, and was thus since abrogated. The directive to perform wuzu as a precautionary measure is mustahab. So alhamdulillah, in this session we have discussed about the nullifying factors of wuzu. We have discussed that there are three types of nullifying factors of wuzu. Those factors which all the scholars agree upon, that is coming out of urine and stool, wind and semen, coming out of wadi, a clear discharge preceding seminal discharge, and unconsciousness, insanity. So all those things that have come out from the private part that break the wuzu, and no scholar, no sahaba, no tabi'in have got a difference of opinion concerning that. And then we get wuzu being nullified by those factors that there is a doubt amongst the scholars, or shall we say that there is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. And we have mentioned five examples, that is touching the front private part, touching a woman, the flowing of blood and pus, vomiting a mouthful, laughing aloud in salah. And we have clearly stated that you follow the jurisprudential law and ruling as per your mazhab. If you are following Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, you follow his rulings concerning these five aspects. If you follow Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, you follow Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh concerning this. This is what we call taqleed, and taqleed for us laymen is wajib, necessary. If you are in doubt, then you go to my website at islam.co.za. We have written many, many books proving that taqleed, to follow one imam of fiqh jurisprudence, for us is absolutely necessary, so that we do not follow our whims and fancies, and because simply speaking we are not capable and we are not mujtahid, and we don't even know the sciences of Quran, the science of hadith, the science of fiqh. We are not pious, we are not righteous, we are not knowledgeable, and we are following. And in this following is no shirk or no kufr, or no act of shirk or no act of kufr, and it is not like how the Jews were following their rabbis as some people want to make it believe, make us believe that we are following, like how the Jews were following, the rabbis. And then we get the third type of nullifying factor, that is mansukh. That is those factors that seem to have been abrogated. And we have mentioned two examples there. For example, eating meat that is roasted on fire, and then eating camel meat. Both of this, in the initial stages of Islam, that wuzu was being made after eating meat roasted on fire, and wuzu was being made after eating camel meat. But now, alhamdulillah, in our Sharia, that we finally do not make wuzu after eating meat roasted on fire or after eating camel meat, Shah Wali Ullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi concludes that yes, it is mustahab, it is preferable if someone does it, like how, for example, when you give ghusl to the mayyat, then it is mustahab at the end that a person makes ghusl. That is mustahab, not wajib. Inshallah, when we come back, we will discuss in lesson number 51 the wisdom behind masa on leather socks, why we pass our wet fingers over leather socks, why was masa on leather socks allowed, and also three conditions for the masa on leather socks to be permissible and the reasons for these conditions. And then we will discuss masa on the top of the leather socks, why we make masa on the top of the leather socks whereas we walk on the bottom of the leather socks. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to practice upon the deen of Islam. Wa akhra da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.